It is Thursday, June 4th, 2015, and you are listening to The Kickabout. The Kickabout is the Nationals podcast focusing on football in the UAE, and it is part of the Extra Time series. I am your host, Paul Phelan, and joining me today is returning champion Paul Oberjerke, sports editor of The National. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Folks, as I said last week, it's a good thing we have all this action involving the UAE, because clearly there is nothing else going on in the world of football that would interest people. So, last night, the big finale to the domestic season, the President's Cup Final, finished 1-1 between Al Ahly and Al Nasser in extra time, and Al Nasser winning 3-0 on PKs, the rarely seen shootout shutout. All things considered, it was a pretty decent spectacle, as it was two Dubai clubs playing in Al Ain in June on a 45-degree night. Paul, we'll just start with what were your overall thoughts on the evening?
I remember as the match unfolded that I wondered if Nasser would ever string together three consecutive passes. Al Ahly were completely dominant for well into the second half. But at the same time, Nasser just sort of hung around, and Al Ahly had that chance to put the game away with one more goal, and they didn't seem to really press for it very hard, or Nasser were pretty good at defending. And then when they got the break on the own goal from Kwan in the 89th minute, at that point I was confident. It just felt like Nasser was going to win this thing now.
And that had to have been just heartbreaking, just being to be that close and then have that own goal come out of nothing, because it wasn't even that threatening across. Although in Kwan's defense, it was a sexy finish, kind of a not quite Jeff Agus 2002 World Cup level, but still.
I had the sense when I was watching it, the very first thing I thought of was that is a mistake of fatigue. And, if it's half an hour earlier, certainly if it's an hour earlier, he gets his foot up just another inch or so higher and that ball is deflected away from goal entirely. And instead, in that broiling heat and a long match up and back, a very active central defender, basically a midfielder asked to go back and play back there. He didn't quite execute it the way his mind was telling his body to do it. And I feel bad that he will be remembered, certainly by Al Ahly fans, as the difference between them winning the President's Cup and not.
And last night completed a cup double for Al Nasser, having won the Arabian Gulf Cup earlier this season. And after a long trophy drought, all of a sudden there's two at once. So that puts them in the Asian Champions League next season, along with Al Jazeera, Al Ain, and depending if the UAE gets four spots, Al Shabaab. Looking at Al Nasser, Paul, I said they finished, I think it was fifth in the league, behind Al Wada as well. And they've always been there in the upper half of the table, but having difficulty maybe breaking into the elite of the AGL. Do they have the talent and, more importantly, the depth to make a Champions League run while trying to climb up the league table?
I would like to think they could, but I really doubt that they will. They'll have to decide on one or the other. I assume they'll decide on the league as their focus. They're going to change at least one of their foreigners. I don't expect Pablo Hernandez to be back. So there'll be some upheaval there. And then again, this is a team that does not have a lot of the first-tier Emiratis, and it's as I've said repeatedly on the Kickabout, it's very hard to win if you don't have first team Emiratis. And the easy definition for that is guys who play for the national team. They have basically just the keeper, and maybe the midfielder Tariq Ahmed deserves a chance, but he hasn't had one yet. So I don't see them competing in both, one or the other, and probably they'll pick the league and then see how things go in the Champions League.
It's difficult to have first line Emiratis when it's that they those kind of players seem to have a tendency to gravitate toward Al Ain and Al Ahly, maybe for the competition, maybe for better compensation. It's hard to say. But you did mention the foreigners, and then Brett Holman, the captain. His future is with Nasser is uncertain, although he certainly is making the case for a contract extension, both in word and deed. Compared to the likes of Asamoah Gyan, Mirko Vucinic, Luis Jimenez, he doesn't get a lot of attention compared to the other top foreigners in the AGL. But how important is keeping him to Nasser's future success?
I would think that the coaching staff in particular, would like to keep Brett Holman. He's one of those glue guys. The team just sort of seems to revolve around him, even though he's a small guy. He's not really a threat to score in particular, but his intelligence and his stamina out there, he just sort of, the team sort of seems to sort of be dragged along behind him. I'm a little surprised they haven't already picked him up to keep him, because he doesn't play for the Australian national team anymore. He doesn't have anything else to get in his way or to distract him. I'm thinking that when they sit down and look at that team and what they want to do with it, I would think they would keep him. His age might scare them a little, but I'm not sure they're going to do better, and they certainly will not be able to retain the cohesion and just the instinctive movements that they have now that he's been there for two full seasons.
And being Australian, you know, he ticks the box as the Asian player. And as far as players in the league who fulfill that plus one role for in the 3+1 setup, I mean, you can hardly do better. Is barring maybe, I guess, Fabio Lima, who is at least nominally an Uzbek. But we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Al Ahly as well. The end of the season comes at maybe the worst possible time for them. Ahmed Khalil, who's frustrating at the best of times, he's on a scoring streak. And then they're starting to look more like the all-conquering Al Ahly of last season, and they're on the rise in the Champions League. But now they've got at least 2 months off before the Champions League quarterfinals in late August. How do they keep this going through the offseason and then avoid stumbling out of the blocks like they did this season?
I don't think they do keep it going during the offseason. It's just too—it's too long to maintain any momentum within the side. We're talking about the start of June until late August, probably. And also, I think they're going to be missing at least two of their expatriate contingent: Luis Jimenez, unlikely to come back; Osama Asaidi, the Moroccan who came from Liverpool, has not quite fit in. He didn't play until like the 80th minute last night. So if you're going to change two of your four foreigners, and you also have a 2.5 month break, they'll probably be pretty much dead in the water again. That's not to say they can't pick it back up, because there's a lot to like about that team. And Mahdi Ali, the national team coach, certainly likes that team, because he's got nine of them in his group that's going to go to Kuala Lumpur.
And it's worth pointing out, as mightily as they struggled to score this season, and they were, I think, that the not only the ninth best attack in the AGL, they had one of the best defenses out there. And with the newly well-behaved Majid Nasser in goal. And if there's one coach in the UAE who's proven his reliability in winning things, it's Cosmin Olaroyu. Now, no doubt he did his future employment prospects a world of good by knocking Al Ain out of the Champions League in the round of 16. Other coaches have achieved similarly. Is winning. He brought home the Super Cup this season, and that was it. Do you think Olaroyu will be around next season to see the quarterfinals?
Barring something that we don't know about, you know, personality things or a really good job offer somewhere else, I think yes, he will be back. He's become almost sort of like a Ancelotti, Rafa Benitez kind of coach in this region. He's pretty much guaranteed to win you something or other. A year ago, he almost had the treble, just missed by the President's Cup. Then he won the league there. This is the first time in four seasons that the champion of the league has not been coached by him. And it's not like Ali were terrible. And then when they knocked out Al Ain to advance to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, I think that secured him here. Now it's up to whether something else in his life or in his career happens that we don't know about.
And as we mentioned, the Ahmed Khalil. But I brought this up with John McCauley last week, Paul. But I think it's almost a certainty, given that Ali departed ways with Graffice and Carlos Munoz this season. I mean, they've got to go in and find at least one foreign striker, if not two, if they're going to get back to where they were this past season when they were winning things regularly.
I agree, and that will be really interesting. I mean, Ali's targets are usually a little higher in terms of cost or prominence. And it would be really interesting to see who they bring in there to replace Jimenez and Asayidi, especially now that at the end of the season, Everton Ribeiro really seemed to be clicking in a playmaking role in midfield.
And as Paul mentioned, the domestic season is over, but the football just keeps coming because the national team is going to get together. It's the start of World Cup / Asian Cup qualifying. Of course, the UAE has that latter part taken care of already. But the first qualifier, first step on the road toward Russia 2018, or at least it is for now, the national team will travel to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Thursday, the 11th. They'll take on South Korea in a friendly in the Malaysian capital. And then that following Tuesday, the 16th, they will play East Timor in the first World Cup qualifier. It's at a neutral site, even because East Timor's stadium, the national stadium in Dili, was good enough to host Mongolia in the first round of World Cup qualifying, but apparently it's not good enough now. So they'll be playing their home games in Malaysia for the time being. Now, neither 3 points nor elbow room will probably be a problem against East Timor, but from the UAE perspective, given the extended domestic season and the workload on Al Ain and Al Ahly players who make up the vast majority of the national team, what sort of performance should UAE fans expect or consider acceptable from this game?
Well, I think that if we look at the two matches together, the South Korea match, I think just a competitive game is all that we can really expect. The Al Ahly guys will show up in Malaysia having played, six times in 21 days. Mm. So they've got to be weary. I think that this first one is about just getting organized and getting acquainted with each other again, even though these guys have played together so many times, it has been since January that the national team was assembled. Anything competitive there is fine. East Timor obviously should be not much of a problem at all. This is a team, you know, on the outer fringes of FIFA world rankings. The fact that they don't have to play in East Timor it also helps. I would expect something tidy, something neat, something easy, 2-0, 3-0, in that order.
All right. And then we will be back with you, listeners next week to look at those two games a little more in depth. But for now, you've been listening to The Kickabout. This podcast was edited by Marwan Al-Hamadi and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. Follow the Multimedia Desk on Twitter at NSVUAE and the Sports Desk at NATSportUAE. I'm Paul Freeland. Thanks for listening.